You're walking along the corridor in the upper part of the house, and you notice that the stairs to the next level are roped off, so the visitors do not enter. You feel drawn to the stairs that lead you to the next floor, and you stand at the bottom, staring up. You can see a corridor that goes to the left at the top of the stairs, and you feel like you need to go there. Suddenly, a beautiful young lady appears in the corridor. She's dressed in a long, flowing blue and white dress, and her long, wavy blonde hair is blowing as if there was a strong wind. Then she disappears. Happy New Year, and welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. Back in September 2023, I visited Lanhydrock House in Cornwall and was fascinated. It was like I was walking around a stately home, but the family still lived there, even though they'd left a long time ago. I was so fascinated by the place, I was determined to find a few ghost stories, and here we are. If you're ever in Cornwall, I recommend visiting. Lanhydrock House stands in 890 acres of ground in the parish of Lanhydrock, Cornwall, in England, and is on the site of what was once Bodmin Monastery that was allegedly founded in the 6th century by Saint Petroc. Saint Petroc was born in Wales in 468 as the youngest son of a Welsh chieftain, and he died in 564. He ministered to the people of the Kingdom of Dumnonia, which we now know as Devon and Cornwall, where he is associated with a monastery in Padstow, which is named after him, Petroc Stow, which means Petroc's place. The relics of Saint Petroc were moved from the priory in Padstow to Bodmin Monastery in the 9th century. The monastery was recorded as being under Benedictine rule in 936, and was possibly a nunnery. By the 11th century, it became one of the wealthiest monasteries in Cornwall. It became an Augustinian monastery in 1124, and stayed under this rule until the dissolution of the monasteries in 1539. After the dissolution, the local Glynn family owned the land, who in turn passed it on to the Littleton family. Thomas Trenance was granted ownership of the land in 1577 through marriage, and in 1630 the land was bought by Sir Richard Robarts. Richard, 1st Lord Robarts, came from a wealthy family of tin miners from Truro, and gained his peerage for the sum of £10,000 from the Duke of Buckingham, a favourite of James I. Sir Richard Robarts started to build the house, but he died 4 years later. His son, John Robarts, the 1st Earl of Radnor, continued with the construction and fortified the granite walls. The fortified granite walls have the years 1636 and 1642 carved into them, indicating the years that they were built. John Robarts fought for Parliament during the English Civil War, and the Parliamentarian General, the Earl of Essex, used Lanhydrock House as his command post. In August 1644, Sir Richard Grenville captured the house and then garrisoned Royalist forces there during the English Civil War. Lord Robarts escaped by sea, leaving his children as captives. Lord Robarts regained the house after the execution of Charles I. Robarts retired from public life after he disagreed with Oliver Cromwell's policies. During his retirement, he built the impressive gatehouse in 1651, which still stands today. The peerage ended with the death of the fourth Earl of Radnor, when he left the estate to his sister, Mary. The house was passed on to Anna Maria Hunt by the late 18th century, the great-niece of Henry Robarts, the third Earl of Radnor. She married Charles Bagenal Agar, the first Viscount of Clifton, in 1804, and had three children. By 1818, her husband, along with their youngest and eldest children, had died. She lived a lively social life, mainly staying in London until her death in 1822, when the estate was passed on to her middle son, Thomas Agar. Thomas lived in Llanhydrock House, and in 1869 revived the barony, which made him the first Lord Robarts of the second creation. He also took on his ancestor's name, Robarts, by royal warrant. Thomas Agar Robarts and his wife Juliana carried out extensive reconstruction of the house and gardens. But on the 4th of April, 1881, a disastrous fire destroyed the south wing and caused extensive damage to the central section. The fire started in the kitchen, catching hold of some open timbers in the ceiling. The strong winds forced the fire along the south wing. Lady Juliana was rescued from an upstairs window, but she died 5 days later after the fire from smoke inhalation. Her husband, Lord Robarts, died less than a year later. It's said that he died of a broken heart. Their only son, Thomas Charles Agar Robarts, was known as the Little Lord due to his small size, inherited the house. He rebuilt the house, keeping the original Jacobean style, but using modern resources such as concrete and steel to make the house more fireproof. The cost would have been around £50,000. Thomas's son and heir to the estate, Thomas Agar Robarts, known as Tommy, became a liberal politician in 1910 and was known as the best dressed man in Parliament due to his fashionable look. In 1914, with the outbreak of World War I, Tommy and his brothers, Alexander, Victor and Cecil, volunteered to fight. His other brother, Gerald, worked for the Foreign Office, and their sister Constance became a nurse. Tommy was killed on the 30th of September, 1915, during the Battle of Loos in France. He was trying to rescue another soldier from No Man's Land. He was awarded the Victoria Cross. The man he rescued was Sergeant Hopkins, who described the following. He came 80 to 100 yards right across the open in broad daylight and within 200 yards of the enemy and dragged me into safety. As he wasn't married, his estates passed on to his younger brother Francis after their father died on the 19th of July, 1930. The house became a home for evacuees during World War II, when children were moved from the cities to the countryside to avoid the bombings. Many of the children who stayed there record how the family was so kind to them. In 1953, after facing high death duties, Francis handed the estate over to the National Trust, who managed the estate until today. Over the years, many ghosts have been witnessed in Llanhydrock House by staff and visitors. The long gallery, which runs down the entire length of the north wing of the house, is host to the apparition of a little old lady who wears grey clothing. She is also often seen sitting on one of the armchairs in the drawing room, and is always mistaken for a real person. Nobody knows who she is, but it's guessed that she may be the wife of John Robarts, the first Earl of Radnor. Another female ghost has been seen in her ladyship's room. She's believed to be the shade of Lady Juliana Robarts, who died from smoke inhalation after the Great Fire in 1881. In 2004, the Paranormal Society was invited to Llanhidrock to hold an overnight vigil in the most active areas of the house. These were held in the prayer room, the long gallery, the nursery suite, and the servants' quarters. On that night, they, along with a psychic medium, allegedly experienced many paranormal happenings, including a former head butler called Albert Lee, who died of natural causes in 1890. A servant girl from Ireland who committed suicide when she became pregnant by another servant who was married. It's believed that her name was Annabel O'Connor and was 22 years old. A little girl called Emily, who died in the house in the 1760s of a heart defect when she was only 10 years old. A small boy who liked to play hide and seek in the luggage room. A maidservant called Elizabeth Hargreaves, who died in 1823 after a fall down the stairs. A tailor who used to clean the shoes of the household. A toddler who died of scarlet fever in the 1820s. A teenage boy who was trampled to death by a horse in 1795. A man wearing a top hat and blue waistcoat. And a Catholic priest from the 16th century who felt guilty after he'd had an affair with a domestic servant who he got pregnant. They also claimed to have experienced many other phenomena, such as the sound of a table moving across the floor in the long gallery, the smell of cigar smoke in the smoking room, a young girl giggling in the nursery, the smell of strong perfume, and sudden drops in temperature. During the time of World War II, a housemaid was employed to help out, as many of the staff had gone to war. After a while, it was just herself and the head housemaid left to run the house. Her sleeping quarters were moved to a smaller room at the top of the house, but she only ever stayed there for one night. It was 11:30 at night, and she was sitting up in bed, reading a book on hymns, when she noticed that the temperature had suddenly dropped. She then said that she felt like someone was pressing down on her. She was too terrified to move and sat awake all night. The next morning, she described what had happened to the head housemaid, who then said that we put you in that room and we knew that you didn't know anything about the haunting. We've known about it for years. She was later told a story that a former Lord Robarts was a gambler and that he offered his daughter in marriage as his stake in a card game, in which he lost. His daughter was horrified, but rather than marrying the man that had won her, she committed suicide by jumping from the tower. Her bedroom was the room where the maid had stayed for the one night. The story must be untrue, as the room is part of the Victorian servants' quarters, and none of the Robarts family ever gambled a daughter. There was a suicide in the family, but that was Alexander Agar Robarts, sometime between the two world wars. It's thought that the haunting could be related to Annabel O'Connor, the pregnant Irish servant who was encountered during the vigil, but it's not known if she was a real person. In 2018, a man and his wife were visiting Llanhidrock and took a guided tour. When they reached the first floor of the house, the man was drawn to the stairs that led to the second floor that was closed off by a rope to stop visitors entering. He had an overwhelming feeling that he should go past the rope and climb the stairs, but he didn't. He stood at the rope looking up into the corridor on the next floor, when a beautiful young lady walked out. She was wearing a long flowing dress, like a ball gown, and she had long flowing blonde hair, which looked like it was being blown by a strong wind. She started to walk down the stairs, and then she disappeared. He was stunned and stood still for a few moments to gather his thoughts before he rejoined the tour party. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. If you enjoy this channel, please subscribe and give me a thumbs up. It's very appreciated. You can find more information about the episodes on the website ghosttales.co.uk and on the Facebook and Instagram pages at Ghost Tales Podcast. All music, research, writing, production, art, and sound effects are all my own work.